is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for being here. Wrapping up a week of programs in Inside Douglas County with a check with Superintendent Jared Horton of Roseburg Public Schools. Thanks for coming in.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
So overall, how do you think the start of the school year has gone?
Well, by all accounts, it is so good to be back in person, full time again, according to our kids and our parents. Some bumps in the road here and there, but the overall sense is it's just wonderful to have our kids back and be back in session with our kids. Lots of positives this year.
Now, obviously, at the front end, this would be like the elephant in the room if I didn't go right to it. Vaccination mandate hits starting on Monday. Where's the district out on that? What's the process been?
Well, let's start with where we're at. We're going to be over 99%. We're about 99% complete as of today. We may have a handful of people that haven't finished that paperwork, but by and large, we won't see a reduction in any staff in our district, which is great. I think a couple reasons for that are probably worth mentioning. This process, and I'll go into a few things here, but this process was a little different than some of the other mandates from the governor. This has been a locally held process, meaning the relationships that we can, the conversations we can have, they happen locally. The generation of the exceptions and those conversations and the approval, those all have happened locally. And I think that's one of the main reasons we've had such a good response from staff on the completion of these.
And in my communications with the governor's office this week in the past couple of days, asking some questions back and forth, that was one of the things the governor's staff had mentioned to me about how this was different. This was part of Oregon Health Authority regulations, different from the executive branch protocols for what is going on there. So while the date is the same, some of the process seems a lot different.
It is different. I think for us, there's always a win when we can handle some of these things locally and have local conversations. I did have conversations with staff that asked, where are these forms going? Who's making this approval? For example, if it was an exception, and I'll talk about that in a minute. And I do think it helps. There's, you know, oftentimes with the more people insist, the more people resist. And if you can have those conversations locally, I think it's important to mention. I am grateful that there was an opportunity to have an exception. The medical exception and a religious exception. And I've talked before with our board and also in board meetings about the importance of religious freedom relative to this. And we were able to give exceptions to anybody who sought that, which was important. I think an important thing for listeners to maybe hear as well, and it's been actually really, really interesting data for us as well. You know, our North Star has been getting schools back open for kids and families. And we have really made decisions based on letting us do that. The responsibility of a school district isn't to ensure, well, this is my opinion, isn't to ensure vaccination. It's to ensure we don't have spread in schools. We can keep schools safe. Interestingly enough, at least in our school district, and we have really good data on this, partly because we've been doing contact tracing on our own. I have three registered nurses that work for us, and we've been supporting DPHN's work as they've been really busy over the last 18 months. We actually have, for those who are unvaccinated and have been, we'll talk this school year, we've had school since the end of August. Those unvaccinated staff had to do a few more things, a few more COVID mitigation processes. But interesting, we had no evidence of spread in the school, staff to student, or student to student, but particularly the adults, interestingly enough, for even the unvaccinated staff. So I think that's really interesting. We've been able to, so I've had this question come up, well, you don't have all your staff vaccinated. It's true, we don't. They have sought exceptions. But what is clear is we actually have no evidence of spread given the past and the current variant we're dealing with, even with the exceptions.
And obviously there's a lot of back and forth on that. And I'm sure initially when this requirement came out, some of the initial comments from the governor in August, you probably heard from a lot of people pretty quick.
I did. I think, you know, I think we're at a spot, you know, both in the county and across the country where there's a question of where governance and freedoms are, you know, how we find that balance, essentially. I do think this vaccine mandate, because we've been able to handle this in a way that was respectful, I think no less of somebody if they haven't chose to have a vaccine. I chose to, and I hope no one thinks less of me. But again, because we did this in a way that really centered on respecting people and also keeping schools safe and kids safe, I think this was handled pretty well. And I think our staff, were able to, you know, get this done for us. I think we'll hear back from nearly every staff by this afternoon.
So at this point, what do you see the impact being in terms of whether you lose some people in the midst of all this?
Well, I don't anticipate we'll lose. We have nearing about 800 employees. And I said at the beginning, you know, we want to make sure we can get at least 99%. There might be one or two out of 800, you know, that maybe decide they're just not going to do this. They're either opposed morally to have to either feel like they need to get a vaccine, or they don't want to seek an exception. And that's the employee's right to do that. I don't think it's going to have, it's not going to force, this mandate won't force us to cancel classes and have a different operating schedule. But that being said, the margins are pretty thin with staffing right now. We have many positions open and unfilled. And so any delta, any change in staffing and we feel it more so this year than ever. I was actually had the opportunity to go work in a kitchen yesterday, serving some elementary kids. It was awesome. It was great. But I think there's, you know, multiple positions open in many places. I don't think, again, the vaccine mandate will have an impact, though, in our operations at all.
So other than the superintendent occasionally working in the cafeteria, what has your situation been in terms of substitutes? I mean, we hear around the state and other superintendents in the county have told me that's a real tough one right now.
It is. TSBC, which does licensure for teachers, has made some adjustments to try to relieve some things. I'm not sure how much that will actually help, but it is very common and almost daily practice that in the event of a sub needed, we don't have someone. So the sub shortage is real. It's something we deal with, and we have to shuffle nearly every day. I think internally there's work that happens. It's kind of like what we kind of hope is it's like that duck in the duck pond that you can see gliding by. But under the water, there's a lot of work happening to make sure we can get key positions filled and services to kids and families.
Now, the protocol in terms of requirements for being a sub got shifted. Some people aren't so sure that's a good idea. Do you think it's going to have an impact?
I think potentially it could have an impact. Positively it could have an impact. I think the real issue I think that continues to be on my mind is really about how do we attract and retain really high quality people in our county. I think this is more of a stopgap measure that the licensing department said. You know, you don't have to have a teaching, you know, a master's in teaching right now. You don't have to have a bachelor's degree to be in the classroom. What could happen is we can take some non-licensed of our staff that could be doing some of the instruction pieces. It could help, but it's going to create a gap likely somewhere else.
So I noticed checking on the district website periodically, one of the first things that pops up is a little comment that tells me there's been kind of an issue with school bus drivers and a shortage.
There absolutely has been. And I this is something that we're working on a daily basis. I will just say I'm frustrated would be, a kind word to say at the amount of times, the amount of time kids are on a bus and the delays that parents are facing with the shortages. We have a lot of unfilled positions and we're working with our transportation provider to remind them of the contractual obligations that we expect as an organization, kids can be able to be picked up and delivered in a way that's safe and timely.
And we've heard from Portland, and I think some of the other metropolitan areas have probably had similar issues where they have simply refunded parents or funded parents a check and said basically in the Portland case, go right, TriMet. But you don't necessarily have that kind of option around here.
Yeah, it is tricky. I mean, kids can access, and we do have kids who can access public transportation if it happens to be near their residence. One of the interesting things here, and I don't know if patrons know this, but the bus drivers themselves and the buses are they're a third party contract. We work through a third party vendor for those. So we're working to make sure we can get the services that kids need and keep those going for kids.
More when we come back. Superintendent Jared Corden of Roseburg Public Schools. They interview a podcast after one at 541radio.com, 1246 News Radio 1240 KQEN. Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson at 1, Umpqua Valley Live, looking at arts, entertainment, and community events, part of KQE and Local Talk at 4. Monday, it's Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer on Inside Douglas County. Superintendent Jared Corden of Roseburg Public Schools talking about probably one of the big words of 2021 right now in a lot of sectors of the economy is a shortage. And you've talked about just before the break with having issues with bus drivers. I mean, you have buses that take kids to and from school, but you have buses that take kids to games, Medford, Eugene, other places. How is all that working?
Well, for the first time in my career, we actually had to have some conversation of, are we going to get kids home from school after school, or are we going to get kids to an athletic event? And so it's been tricky. We have been funding a host of chartered buses to get kids to athletics and activity events. And so again, that's we have our provider, our transportation providers had a difficult time recruiting and retaining buses, or excuse me, not buses, drivers. So we've been trying to support to make sure kids don't have another disappointment. It's important that we can get our kids to the events and activities that help them feel part of school. And I also say we've also had a host of parents, and huge kudos and shout out to parents who've been asked to drive if there are no chartered buses or drivers available.
So when you're chartering a bus, then you're going through a separate provider?
Yeah, we have spent a significant amount of resources to be able to provide that resource for or that opportunity for kids. It should be a basic opportunity to whatever, go to the football game, volleyball game, cross country event, an activity or athletic event. And we have been working through a few different charter companies to get these routes covered each week.
Wow. So amongst the challenges this year, any shifts that have come from Salem since the school year has begun?
There have been a couple of changes, and we anticipate there will continue to be more. But nothing that's really shifted the way that we're operating right now. It will be interesting to see if we will see a return with case rates declining across the country, here locally as well, a return to a little bit more local control. I have a meeting Monday afternoon, not sure what that's at, with the governor's office to see kind of what's next. But I have at times a little bit of trepidation because I oftentimes don't have much of a heads up, it seems like, these days when there's been a shift. But my guess is there'll be some shifts, maybe back to a little more of a sense of normalcy, hopefully, if we can see case rates down.
And you mentioned what you're seeing now in the district in terms of COVID. What about concerns, though, as we get into cooler weather? I know that I was over at RHS the other day, and Russ Bolin was talking about how much the football field is used, how much kids are outside for so many different things. That shifts, though, when the weather does, and then suddenly you've got more kids doing not just schoolwork where they're sitting in one place, but activities where they're moving around, and they're all inside as the weather cools down and we get more rain and all of that. Is there a concern there?
Well, there's certainly been some concerns and some planning around this. We have ordered some large tents that are high quality. We're going to see the first one hopefully be here in about 2 weeks. That'll be at the high school so that kids can eat outside. It's been such a really beautiful fall where kids can be outside and have a little more space to do things, and everything from choir singing to kids at lunchtimes and things, and even classes being able to work outside. Kids don't need to wear masks outside, and so it's a popular thing to be outside. So we are providing a little bit more infrastructure in preparation for the winter coming soon.
What about virtual schooling? How's that going this year?
Well, we have a couple. It's actually gone well. I've spoken to several families who are participating to just see what the perspective of the family and the student has been. We have about 125 K through 5 students in our Roseburg Virtual School. And that's been going great for those families. They're really enjoying that. That has been a steady, we weren't sure if it would be if it would be something we saw a lot of interest in initially. And when case rates came down, we'd see, kids saying, let me go back. But really that has been pretty consistent. We had about 150 about a month ago. It's down to about 125. So a little bit of attrition, but that's going well. We anticipate that will be in place for at least this year. At the secondary school, 6 through 12, they're working really through their school on that with a virtual option, and I think that's gone pretty well. We have about 300 students that are accessing school virtually right now.
So what are you hearing from parents regarding all the protocols and rules for this school year?
Well, there's been a general relief that there's not as much quarantining happening. So some changes that were real positive were implemented this year. Where we used, it seemed like last year when we talked about quarantine, it could be a positive case or a presumptive case when we quarantine. So this year, really the only, in the event of a positive case, we're really only doing isolation, meaning if the kid's positive, then the kiddo is out for that period. And the only reason we would quarantine is if someone else in the classroom has symptoms. And so the benefit for families has been much more consistency this year. So, relative to their own activities at their own employer and home, we've heard some real positives that kids aren't out as much. We actually haven't had, we've really had hardly any cases of quarantine with a positive case. So we do see positive cases coming to school, but not originating at school. And there have been some quarantines. Most of those have been around athletics activities or things happening at home. But it's been much more consistent, and parents are grateful for that.
What about staff? What's their reaction to the way the school year has gone so far?
I think they are really happy to be back with kids, undoubtedly. I think the where staff is at is just wanting to really meet the needs of all kids. And, in a typical year, I've talked to staff quite a bit about this. Having kids that are in different places in their learning is something we're pretty used to. The amount of kids, though, we see needing extra support has shifted a little bit. And so it's taken a little bit of design work to make sure we can meet the needs of those kids.
A couple minutes left on Inside Douglas County. All of that is sort of extra work this year that maybe you wouldn't have in a normal school year, all these challenges we've talked about. What about future planning? Have you had time to sit down and look at things that you would like to be doing ahead?
Yeah, that's part of the work is to, you kind of need to live in those three spheres of what you just did, what you're currently doing, what you're planning to do. So, yeah, we have, and some of that's been, we normally have some three-year planning we're doing. We've got some things happening with the community meeting around a potential bond and what our schools could look like. But really thinking specifically about what do our kids need today and tomorrow and in the next 5 years, in the next 10 years. We'll get back to some of those basics, and we're back to there in terms of what school normally does, the consistency it provides. But really we're looking at how do we increase opportunities for kids, how do we increase rigor for kids, and to make sure that kids are actively engaged in that learning process and having success.
With everything that's gone on in the past 18 months, what do you see in the impacts of kids psychologically?
We definitely have seen, I think, been to me, it's been reinforced, the institution of kids having the ability to be in school in person is really meaningful. And just, I think, the human need to be around people. And the skills that we build when we're around people, the skills around, you know, how to work together and how to have empathy and how to listen and understand. You know, I think, and I don't know if it's, I won't attribute this to social media, but the more we've been, the more that we're able to be around people and work together, I think it's been a positive for kids. And we did see that gap when we weren't able to be with kids.
Superintendent Jared Corden of Roseburg Public Schools, thanks for coming in.
My pleasure. Thank you.
1257 Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.